Hey, welcome to episode number 306 of the podcast More Than Bread and episode number 14 in our series on the Book of Acts. I'm Dan, your host, a coffee-loving, sweater vest-wearing pastor who loves the Word. And if you think about it, and there's so much power and so much wisdom and so much life in the Word of God. I mean, with His words, God created the world, created you and I. And Jesus, the Son of God, very God of God, member of the triune God, John in his gospel called Jesus the Word. In the beginning, he said, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then God gave the Spirit of God, his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, another personal member of the Trinity. God gave his Spirit the special assignment of teaching the Word to us and guiding us to remember the Word and helping us to lean in, to apply the Word to our lives, and even through it to discover and hear from Christ, the Word of God. The Word leads us to the Word. My goodness, is it any wonder why when the Spirit of God breathes life into the people of God through the Word of God, we thrive? So today we're looking at Acts chapter 4. In the last episode, we finished up the story of the crippled man who danced in the temple and drew a crowd to Jesus. And Acts 4 tells us what happened next as a result of two guys filled with the Spirit giving what they had to this broken guy in need of wholeness. Now, I'm going to approach the chapter a little bit differently. I'm going to go from the end to the beginning, not the whole chapter, but this section of the chapter. I'm going to go from the end to the beginning because I think there's an important progression here that can help us see what needs to happen before we turn the world upside down. So I'm reading Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 31, not the whole chapter, but almost the whole. It's a bit, so listen hard. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and here's what Luke writes. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Now, my words, the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, you hear all these different words in Scripture. Almost think of them as political parties. They're two different groups. So Peter and John were speaking to the people. They're confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Now, all of these leaders were very disturbed, verse 2, that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. And so they arrested them. And since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of the men now who believed totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem, and Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest, and they brought in the two disciples, and they demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? And my words, they're talking about the crippled man who was healed and began to dance, right? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the Scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in nobody else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness, think courage, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. And they recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber, and they conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they've performed a miraculous sign. Now, just for a moment, in my words again, you realize that when we have this insider information, they order Peter and John out, And now we got this information of what happens in the conference when Peter and John leave in the chambers. You know what we know? We know that somebody told. We know that somebody in those chambers probably became a Jesus follower. Isn't that kind of cool? Verse 16, what should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they've performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any farther, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in, and they commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we've seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot, for everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, seeing everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. So in the last episode, you heard the story of what happened when Peter and John came across the crippled man sitting outside the temple, right? He's asking for money, but instead, they gave him the healing power of the Spirit of God, and the crippled man became a dancing cripple. It says in Acts 3 that all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized that he was the lame beggar that they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. When the cripple danced, it resulted in many people praising God. You know, I was thinking this week about a story that happened, I don't know, almost 20 years ago, probably. I did a memorial service for a lady from Hilltop Mobile Home Park. If you know where I'm talking about, you know the park is gone. There's a high-rise student housing there now. But the memory, for me at least, remains. Her name was Marge. And our intersection with her life began a few years earlier when I cast a vision here at Calvary that we should purchase a mobile home at Hilltop and find someone to live there and be Jesus to the people in that little community. And so we began to collect the money that was necessary. And it was honestly going so slow. I wondered if it would ever happen. But then one day I received a call from a couple at Calvary. They'd received something of a financial windfall. And it would have been so easy for them to look at it as an opportunity to put something away for the future, for retirement. But they wanted to do good, help those in need. So they wrote out a check for $20,000. And it just so happened that someone from Calvary was selling their mobile home. They called and said that they would sell it for far less than it was worth in order to see this vision become reality. So we began what we called Hilltop Blessings. People began to live in the home looking for opportunities to do good. Relationships were built slowly. Trust was gained. And then one day, one of the guys living in the trailer came out of the trailer to find that a woman had fallen. It was Marge. And this began a journey of reaching out to give what we had to serve someone who had so little. While Marge was in the hospital, we discovered it was not a home that anyone listening would care to live in. And so people from Calvary kind of rose to the occasion and began to transform her home, cleaning it and fixing it, literally rebuilding it. Hundreds of hours were put into this task. I wish everyone could have been at her memorial service. This was a long time after her home was fixed and we began this relationship with Marge. I sat there at her memorial service listening to people share how this experience had changed them. It changed Marge's life, make no mistake, but not only her life, it changed their lives. It changed the lives of those who were Jesus up close and personal to her, and it changed the lives of those who simply heard her story. Marge was someone who hid her crippled places. But when what was hidden became known and what was known became whole, her story resulted in many people praising God. And before Marge died, she found Jesus, and a whole community of people were given living proof of a loving God because they saw the story play out. They heard a story of when the cripples dance. You know, some people wear their cripple on the outside, but so many people in our community, in your neighborhoods, they wear their cripple on the inside, right? And if that's you, man, I want you to know that you are not alone. You are not the only cripple in the bunch. I met this week with a group of people who have a passion to support and help and walk with people whose current chapter involves mental and emotional health brokenness. And as we talked, I realized again, every one of us has broken places in our lives. Listen, you're not alone. There are others stuck in the same thing that you're stuck in. And listen, there are others whom God has brought through what you are going through. And there are people at Calvary who are willing to walk with you, pray for you. We believe that God is not only able, but willing to work in and through your life. That through the Spirit, we have more than we know to give to each other. But I also want to add to those two things and say this. If God has brought you through a crippling place, we need you to share your story. Listen again to that first part of Acts 4. When Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, some of the Sadducees. And these leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there's a resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them. And since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. There were thousands of people who believed that day. Now, the message that Peter and John, at the heart, the message that they shared was the message of the gospel. They shared the uniqueness and the supremacy of Christ. They shared about our sin and the good news of forgiveness and grace. They shared about how our deepest hurts are met by the hope of resurrection. But their message was tied to the story of a crippled man who danced. Do you understand? Your story has a message. Your story can be a launching point for the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. When Jesus goes to work in your life, the story of your life becomes the context for the hope of God's story. Your life becomes a context for the gospel. Your story has a message which has the potential to catalyze the growth of a movement, to catalyze belief in hundreds, maybe thousands of people. So how do we move from cripples to catalysts? Well, let me tell you the story in short form and then start at the end and work our way back to the beginning. So Peter and John heal a man who's been lame since birth. He's about 40 years old. He spent many days during those years just outside the temple begging for money. When Peter and John give him what they've received from the Holy Spirit, the guy's healed and he goes into the temple for the very first time. When Peter and John's friends find out what has happened, they start praising God. And when others, hundreds, maybe thousands of others find out, they're all drawn to God and many of them become believers, which led to Peter and John being arrested and thrown in jail. And the next day, as a requirement for their release, Peter and John are commanded to quit talking about Jesus. The people who had some responsibility for seeing Jesus go to the cross are telling Peter and John, they're commanding them to quit talking about Jesus. And what do Peter and John do? They immediately call for a prayer meeting where, rather than praying for protection, they pray for courage. They pray for signs and wonders, which leads us to verse 31, the ending of this part of the story. And it says, after this prayer, the building where they were meeting shook, and they were all filled with the Spirit, and they spoke God's word with boldness, with courage. So here's my first thought. Before we turn our world upside down, God may need to shake up our church. The building where they were meeting shook, and I can't help but ask, God, do you have it in you to do it one more time? I mean, would you shake us until we become the church that you can use to touch our world and turn our schools, turn Penn State University in central Pennsylvania upside down? I mean, can we be honest? If we keep settling for the same levels of passion and commitment, if we keep placing multiple things in a higher priority than following Christ, if we keep loving stuff more than we love our neighbors, if we keep doing church like we've always done it before, ain't nothing going to be turned upside down, which means that our world will never be right side up. Lord, would you do it again? Would you shake us again? And can I be honest? Almost immediately, my second thought is, but God, not too hard. Don't shake too hard. Hard enough to shake out a few more volunteers and a few more dollars out of closed pockets. Hard enough to move church a little bit up on the priority list. Hard enough to wake us up, but man, not so hard that we suffer. Not so hard that my kid moves to Myanmar to be a missionary. Not so hard that I have to give up what I enjoy. Not so hard that feels out of control. Not so hard that we break. But what if there's some things that need breaking? What if some ways of church need to be broken? What if some hard spots in our hearts need to be broken? What if God wants to know how broken we're willing to get for a world that needs a turn the world upside down church? See, when the Spirit comes, He shakes things up. He reminds us that we're not in control. And I've come to the realization that I so desperately want to be a part of a world-changing, community-transforming people that I want the Spirit of God to shake up everything that holds us back. But if we back up just a bit in the story, we find that there is something that comes before the shaking. Look again at verses 23 through 30. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers, told them what the leading priests and elders had said, and then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor, King David, your servant, saying, why do the nations rage? Why do the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. That's what happened here in this city. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Give your servants great boldness in our preaching. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They didn't pray for protection. They prayed for courage. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for faithfulness. That is an extraordinary prayer. See, before God shakes our church, we may need some bold, extraordinary prayers. Let me pray for us. Father God, it's almost hard for me to say it, but would you shake us up? Would you shake our lives? Would you shake our homes? Would you shake our church? Would you shake Central PA? Would you shake the schools? Would you shake Penn State University? Would you shake us up from our complacency, our passivity? Would you shake us up for settling for putting other things in the priority place that you deserve in our hearts? Would you shake us up? God, I pray that you would raise up a movement of extraordinary prayer, of extraordinary prayers. God, we just ask, would you do it again in our life, in our church, in our hearts? Would you do it again? And Father, I pray for every person who has a crippled place in their life. Would you show them? Would you convict them? Would you encourage them that their broken place can become a conduit, can become a context for the story that you want to write in the lives of every other person, that when you bring wholeness to their life, they have a story to share that becomes the context for the gospel. God, come, do everything that you need to do in us so that you can do everything through us that you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.